Yeah, don't change the station. This is the Gonzo Chronicles. You'll hear some weird noise in the background. You're going to be like, what in the hell is that, Cyrus? The Exorcist is playing on the TV in the living room. I'm just too lazy to get up and go turn it down. Besides, it's dark, and why do I want to go in there and see that? I might get the willies. Or maybe a really bad case of the heebie-jeebies. Honestly, I have no idea which one's supposed to be worse. I should probably look that up one day. Hey, welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. We're going to talk some interesting stuff. This will be a short one, but it'll be fun. I love this song. I really don't have a reefer smoking woman.
I got a reefer smoking woman.
Just so you know.
She'll smoke whatever going round.
But I do love this song. I love the blues, folks. This is Blues Hammer spelled with a Z. Go look him up on social media. Buy this album. Hey, it's a good friend of mine out there that's in this band. I think it's the same son of a bitch singing right now. Patrick, if you're listening. Love you, pal.
Well, she smoked more reefer than me. She smoked more reefer than you.
All right, man. Thanks to those cats for letting me use some of their music as bumper music on this show, because I'm too cheap to go out and pay for, like, you know what? There's all kinds of great bumper music you could use for a show like this. I guess you have to make money on some of these shows to spend money on it, because everybody's copyrighted stuff. It's crazy how you can go share whatever video you want from YouTube, songs from, like, now to, like, you know, the 40s, but the second you use one on a podcast, somebody contacts you because you've broken a copyright. I don't get that shit, but whatever. What an interesting freaking week, folks. I try to avoid the news, but I couldn't help it this week. The news finds you. Everybody's pissed off at Fox News, which, what's new? President's at Walter Reed with COVID. Probably could see that coming. That's, you know, I don't wish anybody ill will. Good luck. Get well soon. And, you know, I want to see our country do great. So let's not, I hate this time of year. Like, the election's coming up. All these political posts, everybody hating each other. Dude, just get rid of stop the political posts. Nobody gives a shit. Everybody knows how they're voting anyway. Get over it. Move along. Nothing to see here. Can we get back to sharing, like, puppies and pictures of our dinner? By the way, I just built a cheeseburger. Built, made, whatever. I fried this thing up. Put a little Worcestershire sauce on it as I fried it. Good stuff, man. So we've had that in the news. And I've been doing some jumping down the rabbit hole this week. So we're going to talk about a couple of really weird things. So in the course of the week, not only did I read some weird shit, I listened to some interesting podcasts about weird stuff. And had a couple of beers. So, all in all, not a bad week. I want to start off by talking about QAnon. For those of you that are maybe new to the podcast, if you go to podbean.com, or when you download my podcast on your iPhone or on your whatever phone you use, it's on iTunes and Spotify and I think maybe Amazon? I don't know. If you scroll back to the very first issue or episode of the Gonzo Chronicles, I held off on starting this because I wanted my first show to be about this conspiracy theory I learned about last year called QAnon. And in the course of that, I actually introduced myself to what I call an influencer in the QAnon movement by the name of Michaela. Nice gal, right? She came onto the show, first ever podcast, and she was nice enough to come on and explain this whole QAnon thing to me. So whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it, go back and listen to that episode. It's very, very informative of what the whole QAnon movement is. I didn't hold any punches in the questions that I asked because I asked questions of like anybody new to that might want to know. And some salty language used in that particular episode, but just a heads up. But there's a lot of good information in it on the whole movement. Reason I bring it up is the QAnon movement, it's now in being covered by mainstream news. After all this time, it's only been around for like 3 years and growing, gaining a lot of steam on social media because I'm on social media and I follow a lot of folks that follow Q. Just, you know, out of curiosity, you know, anybody that's curious and any kind of conspiracy theory, I mean, those things are fascinating to me. However, two things about Q popped up this week. One, there was a very, very interesting podcast I listened to last night, radio show, called UFO Classified. And that show is moderator of that, the host of that is Erica Lukes. And you probably know her from the Ancient Aliens show on History and a few other shows. She's been on TV quite a bit. So she has her own radio show, and it's on Spreaker.com. But I think if you go to UFOClassified.com, you can link over to it. Last night, she had a guest, and I failed to remember his name as I'm talking off the cuff here. I have no notes in front of me on any of this. So last night, she had a guest on that brought up the QAnon phenomenon. And it had a very, very interesting take on the entire conspiracy theory and maybe who was behind it. And I encourage you to go to UFOClassified.com and go find that episode. It'll be the October 2nd episode, which is yesterday. Today's October 3rd. So it was last night. And her show is every Friday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. And you can listen to it live online. So, well, actually, it's a pre-recorded, but it's a live. It'll be played live, and she'll there's a chat board, and she's on the chat board talking with people as you go through it. So really, really interesting stuff about how that particular movement could be a PSYOP, something used by all these agencies with three letters in their acronyms, CIA, FBI. And, you know, PSYOPs are nothing new. These have been around forever since the CIA has been around. And they're ways to manipulate the population to getting people to think the way the government wants or think the way an agency wants or whoever wants. I mean, it's no secret that advertising is propaganda just as much as our news is propaganda one way or the other. It doesn't matter what you watch. People are constantly telling you what to think, how to feel, which, you know, feeling is the big part of that. If you're feeling, you're not thinking. They also, you know, tell you what to buy. What's a good thing to buy? What's a bad thing to buy? You know, trying to, you know, manipulate your behavior based on products people sell. You know, everything is like that from, you know, advertising, you know, commercials you see to stuff you watch on TV and things, you know, placed in movies, things like that. So that's part of the rabbit hole I went down this week. And I'll get into music and movies here in a few minutes. But take a listen to that because, you know, it was very, very curious the take that he had on it, which, you know, to the people in the QAnon movement, I'm going to quote something that they say all the time. Don't take my word for anything I say. Go look this stuff up for yourself. So go look it up. Understand both sides of the argument of the QAnon phenomenon. And if you want, on my website, CyrusAlderwood.com, on the main page, if you scroll down, there was actually an article I wrote, or a piece I wrote called The QAnon Phenomenon, sort of explaining it after I had that discussion about on my podcast with Michaela about QAnon, because she went from being a diehard Bernie Sanders supporter to a diehard Trump supporter. And those two could not be any further apart. How do you go from supporting a socialist with a very far left cultural agenda to someone that's more of a conservative with a very conservative economic agenda? So it's, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense. So anyway, but she explained how she went from that and how that Q movement caused that. So when you hear the other side of the argument that I heard on Erica Luke's show, UFO Classified, you know, you can definitely get both sides. It's very, very interesting. The other thing that came up this week about QAnon, for whatever reason, our Congress, our House of Representatives, decided to have a vote. They wrote an official condemnation, a rebuke of QAnon. So it's a non-binding thing, but they held a resolution to, I guess, rebuke QAnon and that movement as a right-wing, violent movement. Well, first of all, I'm going to kind of step back here because no matter what you think of the QAnon folks, I have yet to see anything violent whatsoever. And this resolution passed overwhelmingly. I think there were like 17 people that voted against it. And one of their questions was like the first question that I had. When I actually do watch the news and I see the violence that's happening in the streets, especially in like Minneapolis and Portland and Chicago, because hell, every weekend in Chicago, 50 people seem to get shot. And then the mayor shows up dressed like a superhero at a press conference this week, which was like asinine and childish to me. I couldn't imagine what voters in Chicago have to think right now. They're probably just wildly disappointed and wondering if they even have any leadership. I don't know. I don't live in Chicago. I don't know any. I know a couple of people there, but I haven't brought up politics because I don't like to bring up politics. But, you know, I see that asinine show. That shit show is about as bad as the debate we watched earlier in the week, the presidential debate. And so the Congress, U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, wasted time to vote on a resolution condemning QAnon as right-wing, dangerous, and violent. And I've never once seen anybody with a QAnon shirt going around bashing up cities, punching old people in the face and threatening them while they try to eat at a restaurant. But yet I've seen Antifa kick the shit out of people, assault reporters, assault police. They even fired fireworks at open windows at the mayor's house in Portland. So this is obviously a violent group. Why was there nothing to denounce that? And that's why the other 17 members that voted against it said, hey, listen, I'm not voting for, you know, to condemn any group if you're not going to throw these other groups in here. We see the violence on TV almost on a daily basis, probably since spring, probably at least 100 times, and it's nationwide, you know. So, yeah, they've got a point there. And I'll just kind of caution our House of Representatives and leadership in general. If you understand, and I've followed these folks long enough to kind of get an understanding, and I'm not going to get into all the QAnon shit, but it's just, you're actually playing right into their hands when you have a vote like that, because everything they say that's going to happen as far as turning on the QAnon movement, which is really just a bunch of nerds doing research on politicians to find what kind of shady shit they've been into, as far as I can see, you know, I'm not like deep down into what's going on there, but yeah, I've seen people on Twitter and Instagram, and that's and some on Facebook, but now they're getting censored. They're getting you know, accounts deleted on these social media things, which is exactly playing into their hands. You're taking away their freedom of speech and thought is what they're going to claim, and that just shows how intrusive and Big Brother dangerous the government can be. You're honestly, they're playing right into their that argument by having such a stupid vote. Now, one of the other things that pissed me off about actually having that vote is not the vote itself, but you know that the program that people had that were getting their unemployment because of all the shutdowns from COVID? There are people that literally can't pay their rent, can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their car payments, can't find a job because everything had been shut down, and there aren't that many jobs to go back to. Now, I know things are starting to come back, and that's great. But really, you kicked mom-and-pop small businesses in the ass for the last 2.5 months, dragging their asses in Congress, and they waste their time voting on some shit like this? That just tells me that our elected officials that we have, both sides of the aisle, could give less than a rat's ass about the people out here in the country. It's about power, and it's about influence, and who gets the talking point on the news that night. You know, to me, it's just absolutely ridiculous. So I'll leave it at that. But definitely go check out the show Erica Lukes did last night. It was really, really informative about that. And go back and listen to my first podcast. I think I actually titled it The QAnon Phenomenon as well. and check out CyrusAlderwood.com. There's a on the main page, one of the posts that I had on there was about that. So you can kind of catch up if you're new to that. So anyway, I also want to ask, I mean, it's Halloween month and I'm loving this. I got The Exorcist on the TV, even though I'm too scared to go in there and watch it in the dark. Is anybody still watching The Walking Dead? I know this is supposed to be the last season of it, and I know a couple of people actually that just live and die by the show. But, after season 5, I'll be honest, I lost interest. It was like the same thing. Like, yeah, we know the zombies are horrible, but people are worse, and it's just trying to find which group's going to be worse than the one the season before. And I don't know, I just kind of got bored of it. I didn't see where it was going. You know, if there's no – it's like that show Lost all those years ago on NBC that was so – had such a huge first season or so, and then, yeah, Lost. It was an appropriate title. That lost me too. Is anybody watching Ghost Adventures? I know Travel Channel. I don't know why the hell they call it the Travel Channel anymore because there's nothing about travel on there. It's all paranormal stuff all the time, which is okay, but just call it the Paranormal Channel or the Ghost Channel or something. It's like the History Channel. I mean, I'm watching is like Pawn Stars and like guys finding old stuff in barns and how much it's worth. And there's really not a lot of history on the History Channel these days. I mean, Ancient Aliens, that's not... I know it's a popular show, but let's face it, that's not really something I would want to watch on a History Channel. That's why I subscribe to CuriosityStream. Get my nerd fix that way. It's only $2.99 a month, folks, so if you like it, if you like documentaries, go get it. Very much worth it. And you know that show Ghost Adventures? I don't know if that just... I know people probably love it, but God, that show's so annoying to me. The guy, what's his name, Zach? I can't think of his name. But every time I like stumble by that show and I see him, you know, he tries to, I don't know, he reminds me of The Rock. He puts the tightest shirt he can find on to show off his biceps and pecs. And he reminds me of the guy at the gym that's always checking himself out in the mirror. I don't know. I can't watch a show like that. It's hard to take shit like that seriously. But yeah, here we are in October, horror movie month. I am pretty excited about it. So I actually wanted to talk a little bit after we got the QAnon stuff over. About a little bit of an urban legend. So let's dive into something very weird. There's all kinds of urban legends, and one I've been doing some research on was the Black Eyed Children. And I'm going to get into that in a later episode, but there is a book that I stumbled on 2 weeks ago. And the only reason I knew it is I was listening to another podcast called Mysterious Radio. I think that's what it is. The host is K-Town, and she's out of Knoxville. I think that's why they call her K-Town. She's out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Really good show. She has a lot of really good guests on there, and actually the show is getting better and better. So if you like podcasts and you like this one, you might want to check that one out. But she had a guest on by the name of Mark Devlin, and I was listening to this interview, and this is a guy who had worked in the music industry for quite a few years. You know, he was in entertainment, and after a while, he'd started kind of hearing about rumors and myths about what other rock bands had been into and occult practices, things like that. So he started to jump down that rabbit hole too. And I'm about when you read, I guess this book is it's called Musical Truth, and you can find it on Amazon. And I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. It's 536 pages. This is not a small read. You're not getting through this in a weekend. This is one big son of a bitch to get through. However, I bought it on my Kindle because it was only $9.99. Paperback on this is like $30 or something. It's $31.71. I don't know why that number, but this I can't put it down. So I'm like 30% through it according to my Kindle, which tells me what percentage I'm through. And I'm going to read the description here on Amazon to you. And this then you'll understand why I'm so enthralled with this. To most people, the music industry represents a source of harmless fun and entertainment. Beneath the glossy veneer, however, lies the devastating truth of who really controls these institutions and the deeply malevolent agendas for which they're being used. Mark Devlin is a long-standing DJ and music journalist. Music Truth is the culmination of his 5 years of research into the true nature of the industry and its objectives, from dark occult rituals to mind-controlled artists and all points in between. The book shows how these agendas fit into the much wider picture of what's really going on in the world, and crucially, how the power lies with us to bring it to an end. Well, I'm not at the end of the book, so I don't know how the power lies with us to bring it to an end, but I do know that I'm already enough into this book that I will never watch another movie or hear another song the same again. As he actually did research into some interesting things on some of my favorite bands of all time. One of the things, and I'm not going to ruin the book for you because I really want you to jump into this too, and I'm not far enough in it to truly ruin it. But there is a direct line from our music industry and our movie industry, for that matter, and television, to government intelligence agencies. And I was I watched a documentary not long ago that, you know, when you think of the word, you're watching TV programs. Those are programming. Think about it. I mean, that's what you're being taught, programming. You know, the more, so, you know, I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know, yeah, because the more you watch something, whether you agreed with it or not in the beginning, after a while, you can be swayed. You know, and how people in the music industry had a lot of ties to the military and to the CIA through their families. For example, Jim Morrison, one of my favorite bands, The Doors. And Jim Morrison, actually, he was a poet also, some really wild, radical stuff. But I've read his poetry, and man, he is out there. You can tell he really enjoyed acid. But the whole counterculture, actually, to get back to the point, his father was actually in like a high-ranking official in the Navy. And one of the things that got us involved in Vietnam to begin with was what's called the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and you can Google that on your own. I'm not going to get into that, but his father was involved in that, and then we get into, you know, involved in Vietnam, and then you had the entire music industry and the counterculture movement that was anti-war, and it had so much about changing our culture in general, and some things good and some things not so good, and you know that's up for each person to decide for themselves. You take the good with the bad, I suppose. But even bands like the Grateful Dead had ties to intelligence agencies and military through their family. And, you know, it was about, another part of it was about how, you know, it was like what I mentioned earlier with QAnon, the PSYOP, that the music industry during that era and all the way through now is still engaged with those types of groups that can, you know, want to sway the culture to be what they want it to be, sway public opinion on one issue or another, or distract people from things, and why the music industry is what it is. And I did notice, and I've noticed this for a long time, you know, anytime anybody that's at least halfway interested in conspiracy theories, you've always heard of the Illuminati. If you haven't, just go watch a Dan Brown movie, right, with Tom Hanks, and you'll see the Illuminati, you know, in those popular movies. Well, you see a lot of Illuminati symbolism being flashed on album covers and things like that. And another one of the things that people were fascinated back in that era of the you know, the 60s and 70s, and even some of the 80s, was the fascination with Aleister Crowley, who called himself the Beast, you know, 666 of Revelation. People have called him the wickedest man to ever live, and he prided himself on that. I found out through reading this book that Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, I knew he was considering himself a witch and had practiced like dark occult magic. And he's admitted this himself, so it's nothing, you know, anything conspiratorial. But he actually went to Loch Ness, right? You've heard of the Loch Ness monster, right? But Loch Ness, he went and bought Aleister Crowley's old house at Loch Ness because he knew that Crowley had spent a lot of time practicing magic there and having these crazy, like, orgy parties and bloodletting rituals and things that were satanic-type rituals. He actually apparently spent 6 months working an incantation to summon the demon Baal, or Baal, whatever you want to call him, B-A-A-L. Not a good character. If you want to look that up, be my guest. Crazy, crazy stuff, right? But he was so enamored and inspired by Aleister Crowley, or Crowley, however it's pronounced both ways, that he went out and bought his old house and fixed it up. And he said that the ghosts that he was raising and, you know, and playing with in that house, those demons were still there. So I don't know if he still lives in that house or not, but I find that creepy that somebody is so mesmerized and influenced by somebody like that, that he would go buy that house. So check out Mark Devlin's book. He went on to talk about the Rolling Stones and the song Sympathy for the Devil. He went on to talk about the Beatles and the controversy and the conspiracy that Paul of the Beatles, Paul McCartney, actually died before they did the their famous, I'm trying to think of the name of the album, Lonely Hearts Club Band. Now, what's the album when they're all walking across the road? Anyway, across the street. And Paul was dressed differently than everybody else. And anyway, there's so much, I guess, evidence to him that suggested that the guy who was Paul McCartney is actually not Paul McCartney, but another person that stood in after they killed Paul, after they had Paul killed. And some of the references that were made by other members of the Beatles to that effect over the years. So I'm reading about how much the occult is in music from that era and then into this era as well. So it covers like everything up through the 90s and, you know, 2000. I think when this book was written in 2016. So it's really recent. Blew my mind. Like I said, if you have a favorite band, beware. You may stumble across them in this book and you may never hear them the same again. He had been involved in so many different levels of the music industry that he was just like, listen, where there's smoke, there's fire. And he dug and dug and dug and wrote that book. So, Mark Devlin, Musical Truth. How's that for a rabbit hole? Man, I've had an interesting couple of weeks, to say the least. But keep in mind, Black Eyed Children, we're going to be talking about more urban legends coming up, but I figured these urban legends in the music business might be enough to swallow. So spend some time this week. If you get bored, look it up. If you don't get bored, look it up. It's fascinating as absolute hell. So have a great time with it. If there's any other conspiracy theories or urban legends or any other topics you want me to talk about on the show, feel free. Oh, by the way, go check out my Facebook page. excuse me, look up Cyrus Alderwood. You know, I've said this on the show many times. I absolutely hate censorship. So anybody that comes on the show can say pretty much whatever they want. I'm not editing anything out. I certainly don't like censorship at the library. And I did manage to stumble on. I saw a picture going around Facebook and I had to save it. And I found some articles that show the top books that are banned by public libraries, school libraries. It's just terrible. I'm looking at some of these classics. And just because you might take offense with something written in a different era, and I don't mean just racially like Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn, but books like Fahrenheit 451, Lord of the Flies, George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm, Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. You know, and yeah, J.D. Salinger uses some rough language in that book, but that's part of showing the anger and the angst of that character. And that's why that book was so important. It was really a cry of a generation. However, you know, you can still have Stephen King on those very same shelves and read F-bombs all day long and many other works, and nobody bats an eye. To me, that's about as, if you're going to ban books from a library in America, you might as well just burn them out in the parking lot. I mean, just get over the bullshit and just say, hey, this is, we hate them, we're burning them. Just show your true colors. This is America. You don't ban anything here. You know, and I see the same thing like cancel culture. Well, cancel that. This is the land of the free. Let's try to keep it that way. A lot of good things happened in this country. A lot of bad things, too. History might not be pretty, but we should all learn it and learn the absolute truth of it and not whitewash it to try to make it look like something it's not by canceling things, especially books. Shame on every library that bans those. No shit. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. I'll be back again soon. We'll talk about those crazy black-eyed children. Honestly, that creeps me the hell out. Go look it up. See you soon.